I want to talk to you this morning about another generation. And before I do, Nancy ran across this the other day on the internet, and she printed it off, and I want to read it this morning. It's by a 15-year-old school student who got an A-plus for his entry in a contest, but it's the Lord's Prayer, and he rewrote it a little bit, and I'll tell you what, it tells a lot about today, and it goes like this: "Now I sit me down in school, where praying is against the rules, for this great nation under God finds mention of him very odd. If Scripture now the class recites, it violates the Bill of Rights. And any time my head I bow, because a federal matter now, our hair can be purple, orange, and green. That's no offense. It's a freedom seen. The law is specific. The law is precise. Prayer spoken aloud are a serious vice. For praying in a public hall might offend someone with no faith at all. In silence alone we must meditate. God's name is prohibited by the state. We're allowed to curse and dress like freaks, and pierce our nose with tongues and cheeks. They've outlawed guns, but first the Bible. To quote the good book makes us liable. We can elect a pregnant senior queen and unwed daddy our senior king. It's inappropriate to teach right from wrong. We're taught that such judgments do not belong. We can get our condoms and our birth control, study witchcraft, Buddhism, and totem poles. But the Ten Commandments are not allowed. No word of God must reach this crowd. It's scary here, I must confess. When chaos reigns, the school's a mess. So, Lord, this silent plea I make. Should I be shot, my soul, please take. Amen." You know what? That's the way it is today. It is. And I did not see this until this morning. And I read this. And I thought, you know what? This is perfect to go along with the message that I'm preaching this morning. And you'll see why as I get into the message a little bit today. And in Judges chapter 2, starting in verse number 8, it says this. It says, "And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Nimereus, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all the generations were gathered unto their fathers. And there rose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed after other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Balaam and Ashtoreth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them unto the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of the enemy round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. We thank you for your love. I just pray now that you'll guide and direct in this message, that everything is said and done will be for your honor and glory. I want to be a help to the people today, and I just pray, Lord, as we go through this message, that we might get something out of it that we can use in our own lives, and we'll give the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, we need to be so careful how we raise our children. And we've got people in here today that have children, but we need to really be careful how we raise our children. You know, how our future generation will be taught concerning God. You know, God wants us to teach and to train up our children in the way that they should go, so that then when they're old, they will not depart from it. But you know, we see here in the scripture that we just read, a new and improved generation, a people who grew up not knowing God. And we need to take and realize that we're only one generation from a godless society, and that's where we are right now. We are one generation away from a godless society, and we need to realize that we're at a point right now that either we're going to have to turn or we're going to have really bad consequences down the road. But you know, God has a command to parents. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6 and 7 it says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk with them as thou sittest in thine home, and when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Moses commanded the people of Israel to teach all of the commandments to their children. Moses said, "I want you to teach everything to your children that I'm going to teach you. And they have to learn it. They have to know what this is, so that they can pass it on to the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation." They were to teach all things to their children which they had seen and had experienced through the 40 years in the wilderness. How God had delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh in the land of Egypt. How God had dried up the Red Sea and they walked across on dry ground. How for 40 years God had supplied them with manna each morning. You know, think about that. 40 years, every morning, they would go out of the camp and they would take enough food for that one day. I mean, that's unbelievable. Every day the food was there. Every morning they went out and they just picked up the food and they had it. They didn't have to grow it. They didn't have to water it. They didn't have to weed it or anything else. They just went and picked it up and that's what they ate. How their clothes did not grow old for 40 years. How many of you have clothes at home that are wearing out? How many of you bought clothes in the last year that are wearing out? But you know, we need to realize that the Israelites, for 40 years while they were in the wilderness, their clothes never wore out. Their shoes never wore out. Now, I don't know about you, but if I walked for 40 years, I think I'd go through a whole lot more than one pair of shoes. Amen? You know, as I was writing this, I was watching a show on TV, and the commercial, there was this guy, and he said, his wife says, "Well, how many guns does a man need?" And then the camera went down at her shoes. "Well, how many shoes does a woman need?" You know, anyway, but for 40 years, they were walking in the wilderness. Their clothes never wore out. Their shoes never wore out. And they were fed every day. You know, how God supplied their water by just having Moses go to a rock and strike it, and billions of gallons of water come rushing out of that rock. You know how God would not let Moses enter into the land of promise because of the disobedience that he had. Think about that for a minute. Here Moses had led the people for 40 years in the wilderness, and then God says, I'm sorry, just because you disobeyed me once, you cannot go into the promised land. Does that seem fair? That doesn't seem fair to me. After all, he did everything God wanted him to for 39 years. And then just once. And all God said is, go up and speak to the rock. Instead of speaking to it, he struck it. God got angry because he struck it and didn't speak to it. And it's because of your disobedience, you're not going to go into the promised land. Wow. But you know, they had to teach their children the laws of God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image before me. Thou shalt keep the Sabbath day. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Honor thy father and thy mother. Those I always call the Big Ten. Amen? You know, those are the Big Ten. Every one of them are repeated except one in the New Testament. Every one of them are repeated except one of them in the New Testament, and that's to keep the Sabbath day because the Lord is the Lord of the Sabbath. But you know, we are to take and keep the Big Ten, even though we're not living under the law. But besides the Ten, guess what else they had to learn? The other 420. There was 430 laws that were given to the Israelites by God that they had to abide by all the time. Now, how many of you have a hard time all the time obeying the sign that says speed limit, 55 miles an hour? You know, the other day I was driving by and I saw this sign that said 87. I thought it was 87 miles an hour. You know, it's like the two old ladies that got pulled over on Interstate 10 and they were only going 10 miles an hour. 10 miles an hour. And the state trooper went up to the car and says, ma'am, why are you driving so slow? She said, well, she said the sign said 10 miles an hour. No, he says, that's Interstate 10. And this lady says, I was trying to tell her that when we came off the 202. You know, so many times, though, it's hard to take and keep laws, isn't it? You know, can you imagine being the Israelites and having to keep 430 laws? Not only the Ten Commandments, but also all the dietary laws and all the rest of the laws that God had for them. You know, there were laws of God which He gave to the people so that they would always look to Him for their guidance, though. You know, God wanted His laws, and He wanted them to be done from generation to generation. You know, He wanted Himself alone to be in the forefront of the children of Israel. And He wanted them to remember who He was and what He did. You know, I think in our society today, we kind of forget who God is and the power He has. I really do. And I think we need to take and get our eyes back on an almighty God. You know, not only that, but if you take and you look at this, now, the children of Israel, they were commanded to keep all the laws that they were taken, teach them to their children. Why were they to teach them to their children? So that their children would teach their children. And their children would teach their children. And this was to go on generation after generation after generation. God wanted each generation to know who He was, what His laws were, what He had done for the people, and how that He would supply all of their needs if they would only look to Him. But what went wrong?
But what went wrong? After God commanded, didn't he? He says, I want you to take and teach this to your children and your children's children. But what went wrong? The land was at rest. There was no war. All the enemies had been beaten. The land was giving an abundance of its fruit. There was no need of want. The herds were multiplying. The crops were great. Their harvests were the best that had ever been. They were very plenteous. They had lots of money. Their wealth was very great. They had no need of want. They had the comfortable lifestyle. Lots of servants. Their families were growing up. They had everything that they wanted in life. They had the good life. Everything was going good. Everybody had two cars in the garage. But you know what? Yeah, two camels. There you go. But they forgot to teach their children the way of God. You know, everything was being handed them on a silver platter. They didn't have to work hard for what they had. They did not need God to look out for what they were doing. They had the good life. We have everything that we need. We do not need God. You know, why teach something to our children which they're not going to need? Why should we teach what God did in the past when we don't need Him now? You know, let them make up their own minds about what God they serve. Why should I cram religion down their throats? You know what irritates me the most of anything when I go out door knocking? Is this. Hi, my name is Pastor Dale Thorne. I'm from Florence Baptist Church. I see you've got some children. Well, I'll tell you what, I'd like to pick them up in our van and bring them to Sunday school. Then I hear this. Well, I want my children to make up their own mind what religion they want to be. I look at them as, well, how old are your children? 4 and 5. Well, I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, hold it. 4 and 5. When I was 4 and 5 years old, I didn't even know what pair of pants to put on. My mom would say, no, you can't wear those. Those are your church pants. No, you can't wear those to go to school. Those are your play pants. Okay, fine. That's what I did. Listen, why is it we expect our children to make up one of the most important choices of their life when they can't even make up their mind what they want for breakfast? But you know, there rose another generation which knew not the Lord. And you know, this is not the only generation that this happened to. If you go back into the book of Exodus, you'll see there was a generation that arose after Joseph that knew not Joseph. That knew not Joseph. And if you look, and that's one of the reasons why God took the Israelites out of Egypt, was because they were being persecuted so badly there. But you know, here we see that there was another generation that arose after Joshua. These people that arose out after Joshua didn't realize what had happened in Israel, or in Egypt, I mean. They had no idea the persecution that was going on in Egypt. In fact, they had no idea that when they left Egypt, that they walked up to the Red Sea and it parted and there was dry ground that went across. Now, just think about this for a minute. You've got 4 million people that are walking towards the Red Sea. 4 million! The Egyptian army is coming up behind you, and there's a sea in front of you that you can't cross. Are you between a rock and a hard place? I think so. But you know what? God says to Moses, he says, okay, take your rod and put it in the water. So he did. There was a great wind that came up and the water stood on either side. The Bible says that the ground was dry as they went across the Red Sea. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been in beaches and things like that. And if there's no water there, if you go down just a little bit, there's a lot of water. But they went across on dry ground. People say, well, that could never have happened. Actually, you know. But they have found now in the Red Sea chariots, thousands of them, chariots, all in one line in the middle of the Red Sea. Whoa! They know exactly where the Israelites went through the Red Sea. And at that point in the Red Sea, it is 100 feet deep. Now, think about this for a minute. You've got 100 feet of water. All of a sudden, it splits wide open, stands up on the... How high did those walls have to be of water? Man! 4 million people go walking across there on dry ground. They get on the other side. Just as they get on the other side, here comes the army after them across on dry ground. All of a sudden, it gets muddy. The horses are sinking in the mud. All of a sudden, those walls of water come crashing in on top of them. Wow. Listen, the next generation didn't know about that. The next generation didn't have any idea that Moses walked up to the rock at Horeb and struck it 3 times. And billions of gallons of water come gushing out of there. Billions! And do you know that even today, in that spot, there's still water coming out of that rock of Horeb? All these generations, it's still there. Now, what we need to realize is this, is that the next generation knew nothing about what they should know. You know, they had been taught that it was important. It wasn't important anymore to go to church. They had that they could worship anywhere they wanted to. You know, they were taught to love. They weren't taught to love the Lord above everything. They were not taught the importance of preaching the Word of God. They were not taught to read their Bibles. They were not taught to obey their parents. They were not taught about God and of all creation. You know, listen, this new and improved generation had a better way of doing things. They weren't taught it anymore in school. They didn't need God. They would stay up all night, sleep all day. They didn't need anyone telling them what they could or could not do. They were going to do whatever they wanted, and it didn't matter who told them not. Why? Because they knew better. There arose another generation that knew not God. You know, as I was looking at this, I said to myself, what's happening today? What's happening today? You know, we have another generation that just came up. Did you know that? It's called the what? Millennials. It's called the millennials. We were the baby boomers, weren't we? We were the baby boomers. Then you had Generation X, and now you have the millennials. You know, my great-great-grandparents, they, if they were alive today, I believe that they would probably give every one of us a whooping, including me. That's the way my grandpa, my great-great-grandpa was. You know, but they feared God. They were in God's house every day on the Lord's Day. They were in the Word of God on a daily basis. They talked to God every day. They had a hard life, because they lived through the Depression. But you know what? They look to God to supply their every need. They taught their children to fear and reverence God. You know, my grandparents then were God-fearing people. They were in church on the Lord's Day. Their families were seated right alongside them. My mom and dad went to church every single Sunday morning and every single Sunday afternoon. They didn't go to church on Sunday night. They went out in the afternoon because they didn't have lights in the church. So they had to have it in the afternoon. So what they would do is they'd come to church in the morning. They'd have a church service. After church, they'd have a potluck dinner. They'd have another service. Everybody went home, did chores, and then they had the night. But you know, my grandpa and grandma, they loved and they served the Lord. Oh, I forgot one thing. My great-great-grandpa was an Anabaptist preacher. He was an Anabaptist preacher. My grandpa, he worked for the Postal Service. But, you know, one thing about them, my grandparents, you know, my mom and dad, when they were growing up, they never told their mom and dad they weren't going to church. They never once ever said, well, I'm not going to go to church. I don't want to go to church. They never did that. You know, mom and dad were consistent in what they had been taught, and I'm so thankful for it. You know, they relied on God to supply their every need. But you know, my grandpa and grandma, they were very godly people. Even though my grandpa wasn't a preacher like his father was and like his grandfather was. When my mom and dad started out on their own, this was right after the Depression, they had a hard life. But things got better in the 1960s and 1970s. And things got a little better, and things were going a lot better. And you know, my dad, we had a grocery store, and that store was always closed on Sunday. How many of you remember Blue Sunday? Nothing's open. Everything was closed. I mean, I can remember that. I loved Sundays, I did, because we didn't have to have this store open. But we were always in our place on Sunday morning, and that was in church. We never suggested staying home from church on Sunday. My dad, he didn't read his Bible every day like my grandpa and grandma did. He didn't pray every day like my grandpa and grandma did. And later in life, as society changed, my dad started having the store open on Sunday, because everybody else is open on Sunday. And it got to a point where if he went to church on Sunday night, it was enough. And you know, as I was growing up, I was seeing all of this, and I'm thinking to myself, well, if God isn't important to my dad, why should he be important to me? You know, it came to a point that he was living for himself rather than for the Lord. You know, just as so many of your parents were, lived back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, God was beginning to be forgotten. My generation arrived on the scene, a new and improved generation. You know, we lived the free society, didn't we, in the 60s and 70s. Free living, free lifestyle, no restriction, lots of money, great prosperity, everything we wanted at our fingertips. We had no need for God. We did not teach our children to fear God. We did not train our children in the way that they should go. We allowed them to do their own thing, their own way. We allowed them to run as they pleased. We let them worship as they pleased, not fearing the God of all creation. we didn't discipline them and show them that we loved them through our discipline. They grew up knowing of a God, but not the true God. Now, we have another generation who knows not God. It was just like in the days of Joshua. We got a new generation. We've raised this generation just like the children of Israel who knew not God. They don't feel that it's important to be in church on the Lord's Day. They no longer obey their parents. They no longer feel it's important to obey those who have authority over them. They have no testimony with others that separate them from the world. They don't feel there should be any consequences for the things that they do. You know, they do not want to have anything to do with God or God's people. This is the way people think today. If I'm not entertained, I don't want it. Amen? After all, look at all the nightclubs there are. Look at all the, you drive by, bar after bar, and it's live music. You got to be entertained. Everybody has to have entertainment. They don't want to live like a Christian. They dabble in things that they shouldn't look into. They go to websites that they shouldn't look at, the dark things instead of the things of the Bible and looking towards the light. They practice witchcraft, goth, participate in seances. And mom and dad many times have no idea, none, zero, what they're even into. They go to parties with no regard of anything that they do. They mock those who have authority over them with no respect for the law, the government, or the government leaders. They have no respect for their teachers and give no honor to the people who should love them. Listen, this generation which we're living in today is a backslidden, God-forsaken generation who has no hope. No hope. Listen, we need to get back this generation. We need to open their eyes to see what they're doing is wrong. We need to get back and train and teach this generation the values and the importance of God. You know what we need to do? We need to reverse this trend. Amen? We need to take and put this thing in reverse. And we need to go backwards two generations. We need another generation who will come alive and train this next generation in the ways of the Lord. In 1964, when prayer was taken out of the schools and the Bible was no longer allowed to be taught in our public school system, our nation started a downward trend. In 1973, it became legal to kill babies and call it abortion. In 1985, when the ACLU came to the realization the Ten Commandments should not be displayed in our courtrooms anymore, they tried to take it out of all the courtrooms across the nation. In 1989, the atheist movement felt that the nativity scene should not be displayed in front of public buildings, and they were taken down. 2015, the Supreme Court ruled same-sex marriages was okay, and it should be the law of the land. In 2015, the same year, it was ruled that men and women should be allowed to share the same bathrooms and showers. Many of you remember that one. Praise the Lord, President Trump reversed that. But where were Bible-fearing, Bible-believing, born-again people when all this was going on? They were doing the same thing that the Israelites were doing when the things were going on in their life. They sat back in their lazy boys with their feet up watching television and saying, let someone else do it. Let someone else fight this fight. So guess what? Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. If you go all through the book of Judges, you're going to see that Israel would forget God and He would punish them. Then He would bring a judge and they would go back to the way they were. God always brings punishment to a country that He loves. And I want you to understand that. September 11, 2001, God brought chastisement to America. He did. God brought chastisement to America by taking out the two Twin Towers. 3,000 people were killed. Thousands were injured. Listen, that was to be a wake-up call. I can remember that weekend very well. We were in this church. We were here, and the church was packed. We had almost standing room only in this building. We had 100 chairs in here, and it was standing room only the weekend after 9/11. People were seeking God. It wasn't long after that, though, that little by little, it got smaller and smaller and smaller. You know, one day Israel turned its back on God, and God had had enough. And you know, to this day, Israel has been in bondage. They've been scattered throughout the whole world. Listen, we need parents and grandparents who will step up to the plate and say, I am going to change the way that this next generation is being raised, and I'm going to start with my family. My family. America as we know it today, one day may not be the land of the free and the home of the brave. You may say, well, what can little old me do? After all, who am I? You can start with your family. You can start with your family. And if you can raise your family the way that they should be raised, God is going to honor you beyond measure. We need to train a new generation to love and fear the Lord so that we will always be one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We need to do that. And we need to start today. We need to start today. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. We thank you for your love. Father, I just pray that you might help us. Help us as parents. Help us as grandparents. To raise this generation that's coming up, Lord, that they might know you. We've got two generations right now, Father, that have turned their back on you. And we need to reverse the trend. We need to have parents who will take and say, this is it. I'm going to put my foot down right now and say, I'm going to raise my children the way they need to be raised. Oh, I pray for them, Father. I pray that for the parents here today that would want to make that commitment. It's not an easy commitment, but I just pray that they might be able to make that commitment today. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute, maybe you're here and you're saying, you know, preacher, with an uplifted hand, I am going to do my best to raise my children the way God wants me to from this day forward. That's you. I want to pray for you. Just raise your hand quickly. Hands all over the auditorium. God bless you. Thank you so much. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, preacher, I'm not even 100% sure that if I were to die right now, where I would spend eternity. I don't know for sure if I'm saved. I don't know for sure if I would go to heaven. Would you pray for me today? Is there anyone like that? Quickly, quietly, raise your hand, put it back down. Yes, I see that hand. Anyone else? Father, you've seen the hands. You know the hearts. Father, how I pray now for these that have raised their hand, that they want to be the parent that you would have them to be from this day forward. Many times it's hard to raise our children. Many times it's hard to keep them on the right path. But we know that with you all things are possible. And how I pray for these that have raised their hand, that have been honest this morning, that from this day forward, that they want to take and raise their children the way they should be raised. Father, I just pray now that you'd be with us, guide us, and direct us. We love you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand, turn to hymn number 505. You need to come to the altar this morning. The altar's